You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
So it's time to go from Detroit to Key West, Florida. Talk about that.
What happened? After 9 months, my brother Rick actually, before it actually happened, but he turned the bar back over, just turned it over to the previous owner just to get out of it.
Right.
Because Rick had a degree in business and he can get a good job, which he did, to support my mother, take care of my mother.
Okay.
And he said, you get out of town, you know. So I found a college. I had my GI Bill.
How old were you then?
21.
Wow. So
I had my GI Bill.
Okay. Wow.
From the Army. And it was the GI Bill back then was pretty substantial.
Right.
And so I picked a college down in I found, well, I want to get as far away from Detroit
right.
as I could.
That's as far as you can go.
Yeah, otherwise you hit Cuba.
You're going to be in Cuba, right?
And which is another story. But I went down there, found the Florida Keys Community College.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to, my GI Bill paid for my rent for a trailer. And it paid for my college. And the only thing I had to do, I had to get a part-time job at a restaurant as a cook so I can have gas money and food money and insurance for the motorcycle. And that's and so I got, you know, I popped on that motorcycle, my buddy and I, put in a van. We drove down to Key West. And 1973 in the fall to start school at the Florida Keys Community College. And I wanted, you know, all the time I was running the bar, I got out of the martial arts. I wanted to get back in the martial arts.
Right.
I love them. I had a passion for the martial arts. So Key West had a big karate club going on right there by a retired Navy chief. Seventh degree black belt in Shobokan karate, an Okinawan style karate. The first American, non-Japanese, to win an all-Japanese tournament in Sasebo, Japan on Japanese soil.
Wow.
It had never happened. This guy won the tournament. He was a professional boxer at one time for the Navy. Anyways, this guy had a huge club, about 200 students. I found out about it, showed up. The guy was a born-again believer, born-again Christian, son of a Georgia Baptist preacher. The name was, they call him Chief Lau, the chief.
Okay.
That he had a reputation, the chief.
Right,
the chief. You know? And I remember showing up that one day, he knew a little bit about me. He said, yeah, you're a Vietnam vet, huh? Black belt in Taekwondo? You think you're a tough guy? I got a 16-year-old boy that can clean your clock, buddy. You show up at my club at Key West High School tonight, and let's see what you got. So he dared me. And I got my gi, and I showed up there at Key West High School.
And your gi, of course, your dress.
Your karate gi. Mm-hmm. And I remember this guy came out, about a 6'3", 16-year-old.
And you're 7 foot.
Yeah. I'm 5'7". And I was dwarfed by this guy. But he outpointed me.
Right.
And I ended up joining the chief, his club, his style. I think it was a few months before I was able to qualify for a black belt, you know, in his style of martial arts. I ended up working for the chief with about six other black belts.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me classes with children, one at the high school, one at the Navy, Boca Chica Naval Air Station, with young military guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, but all the while, when he would train his black belts, he would bring us together. And we'd do about 2.5-3 hours of training with the chief. I mean, brutal. And when he'd get you totally exhausted, he'd put us on our knees with our hands frozen in a position on our knees, pick up the Bible and start sharing the Word of God. If you move, he'd beat the daylights out of you.
So I like that approach. That's good.
It's the most effective evangelistic technique I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
But he would share the Word of God.
Right.
He'd share the Word of God.
Right.
And I would just resist. I was resisting because I've been hurt.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. You know, I was angry about my teenage years, angry about what happened there, angry about Vietnam, angry about my father's death, angry about having to get stuck in a bar. You know, all this stuff. It was just my life was going nowhere, you know. And I didn't know what I was at that. I was attending classes. I didn't know what I wanted to be, where I wanted to go. My grades were in the pits all the way through high school. And it was right at that time that the Lord was revealing himself through Bruce. This man was passionate about his faith, you know, kind of hardcore kind of guy. But I needed a guy like that to get through to me. I wouldn't have listened to anybody else. And so it all culminated in 1974. In October of 1974, gosh, how many years ago is that? Good gracious.
Couple.
I would have been 23 years old at the time. And what ended up happening, we went to a full contact martial arts tournament in Miami. It was held at a mall, a shopping mall, the Cutler Ridge Mall in Cutler Ridge, Miami. Mm-hmm. And the whole tournament, they'd roped off this section, so the small area. So I was in the lightweight, obviously, lightweight black belt competition. Mm-hmm. And I was in my third fight. And a guy that was a born-again believer, Homestead Air Force Base, mm-hmm. near Miami, he was there fighting in competition. Minutes before we're going to fight, he walks over to me, introduced himself. He said, "Hey, I think we're up next." He said, "Brother, I just want you to know, I'm going to be pulling my punches and kicks. I'm not out for a bloodbath here." It was full contact, right, so right. People got cut. This was before MMA.
Right. Oh, okay.
This is prior
right.
to MMA. MMA wasn't even around. Bruce Lee was MMA.
Okay.
But people got cut, and it got pretty brutal. So what happened, after the guy said that, he said, anyways, this is only a sport, man. It's not my main thing.
Right.
Not remembering exactly his words, I said, "What is your main thing?" He said, "My main thing is I'm a child of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
He's my main thing." And he walked away.
Wow.
Now, all this time, Bruce is preaching to me.
Right.
And little did I know that students in my children's class that I taught, mm-hmm. with these kids, mm-hmm. their parents were praying for my salvation. At Fifth Street Baptist Church,
wow.
in Key West, the southernmost Southern Baptist church in the United States of America.
You are surrounded. Fifth Street.
They're praying for me. Bruce is preaching to all his black belts, you know. And here I am now, and this guy just got done witnessing to me. So when we get in the circle to fight, I remember it was about 8x8, mm-hmm. and I'm getting over there, and I'm getting myself in position,
right.
trying to get that, to borrow a phrase from the Rocky Balboa movie,
yeah, yeah.
Eye of the Tiger, Rock, Eye
yeah.
of the Tiger.
Yeah, right, right.
I'm trying to get the Eye of the Tiger, you know, the aggression, right?
Right, right, right.
And couldn't get it, totally. This guy was on the other side just looking at me, calm, demeanor, mm. you know, and I'm thinking, I mean, the Holy Spirit just got a hold of me. Mm. So we get in there to I couldn't hit him, couldn't mm. kick. I mean, I just held back, I couldn't unload. Mm-hmm. And he outpointed me, he won.
Wow.
And so I'm walking away, you know, out of the circle. All my kids that I brought up, all these children to for their competition, they're pulling on my gi pants, saying, you know, "What happened? What happened? How come you didn't hit him?
Right.
What happened?" I said, "I don't know. I don't know." And I got my car. I'd sold my motorcycle and bought a Volkswagen because mm-hmm. When it rained, I couldn't take a girl out on a date, so I
right,
ended
right.
up trading my motorcycle in for a Volkswagen,
right.
the old Beetlebug.
Motorcycle. Anyway.
And so I get back in my car on that 3.5-hour drive from Miami mm-hmm. back down to Key West, Florida. And for the first time there in that car, since I guess I was a child, mm-hmm. going to Mass at a Catholic church. You know, we had this huge Catholic parish. I remember the big cross mm-hmm. hanging down in the St. Veronica Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And I would always look at that, you know, and I was always just something in me that brought my mind back that maybe this is real. And I remember talking to God. Maybe I said, "Lord, something like this. If you're real, if what Bruce Lyle, the chief, was saying is true, I don't want to live the way I'm living no more. God, I don't want to deal with all this anger inside of me, all this hate. Please, God, if you're real, tell me what you want me to do." And I get back down to Key West, and the next day, all these folks were inviting me to come to their church, the parents of these kids that I taught in the karate class, and that next day was Sunday. So I went to Fifth Street Baptist Church, heard the gospel preached, and that Sunday evening I went back. And that night, right there, in a small little Southern Baptist church, a Sicilian-Italian kid mm. from Detroit, in this little Baptist church.
Wow.
And I go up there and I kneel down at that altar and I unloaded. I hadn't cried since the night my dad died. And I cried in the bar alone by myself. Mm-hmm. Didn't cry at the funeral. I was angry. But in that bar alone, chugging down whiskey, Seagram 7 with a beer chaser. Mm-hmm. Trying to deal with the pain. And I just held it in. It became hard. But that night I unloaded. The tears were flowing out of my eyes. I was just weeping. Mm. And I could hear the Holy Spirit speaking, God's voice, in my mind. Not audibly, in my mind. Saying, "I forgive you, son. Mm. I forgive you." And something else would come to my mind, you know, that I did in Vietnam or hurting, right. taking advantage of people. Mm-hmm. "I forgive you, son. Mm. I'm going to change your life. You're going to be..." Yeah.
Jesus.
And then when I opened my eyes and I turned around, there was only 45 people there at the church. I got out of their pews. They were surrounding me at that altar, mostly young Navy guys, fathers, probably in their 30-something. And I turned around. These brothers were saying, "Listen, man, you're not alone.
Jesus.
Said, you're not alone.
Jesus.
I'll get my composure. It's funny how the memory, you know, you can rethink something.
Awesome.
I mean, we're talking 47 years ago. And yet the emotion of that is real. They said, you're not alone anymore, son. Mm. We're your family. Mm. And that was October, the third Sunday of October, 1974. And that changed my life. In the months that followed, immediately, things that were vices that were there with me began to remove language, thoughts. God began to clean my mind, my life out. By the time 6 months went by, the people in the Bible group that were there saying, you know, I was absorbing scripture. I never read the Bible before in my life. And verses, I mean, they're just pouring into my mind like a sponge. And the people in that church noticed that. They're saying, man, God must have a call in your life, brother. Mm. We had a big youth group, several churches in Key West at that time, would get together and had huge youth gatherings up at this, we call Mars Hill. It was this little hill in Key West dredged out of the ocean, you know.
Right.
And we'd have bonfires up there, and it was a real Jesus moment. Mm-hmm. Kind of the Jesus movement was going on at that time.
Yeah, it was a powerful movement. Yeah.
So months after, this guy named Arthur Blessed, a well-known evangelist that carried the cross around the world.
Okay.
Arthur was making his way down to the Keys at that time, mm-hmm. and it was in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And he was associated with Southern Baptist Convention mm-hmm. primarily, but his ministry was huge. And he came down, and I walked with Arthur. I parked my car and saw him, and I walked with him down to Mallory Square in Key West. And I was only a babe in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Arthur was able to draw all the hippies, all the leftover of the Woodstock generation.
So what did y'all look like, long hair? No.
Oh, they all gravitated. Bikers
were
all on Mallory Square, and Arthur got over there to preach. Uh-huh. People just crowded around, man. These bikers and hippies and every crazy person you can imagine. I watched this guy preach.
Right.
And this one guy, this biker, came up, threw himself down on the ground. He said, man, save me, brother, save me. I mean, I'd never seen anything like that.
Wow.
And I thought, if Jesus were alive,
right,
he would be doing what Arthur's doing.
Of course,
doing.
He is alive. But he's right there.
So he'd be doing what Jesus would be. I mean, what Arthur's doing.
Yeah.
He'd be out here in the streets.
Yeah.
And that whole Jesus revolution of the 70s
turned
me on to I wanted to do what Arthur was doing.
Wow.
And so the people at that church said, there's a Christian college up in West Palm, man.
Oh, wow.
You need to go up there to Palm Beach Atlantic College. First Baptist downtown started this Christian college. And and so these guys, the couple deacons in the church, a guy owned a donut shop and a bank, vice president, gave me $500 and provided me with a suit and all kinds of stuff and sent me up to this college.
And you never had a suit prior to that?
No, I have no more suits. Uh-huh. And sent me up to this college in West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been the latter part of 74, right around 74.
Mm-hmm.
And I would start college in 75. That would have been in 75, because I was there in 75, 70, and part of 75 and 76. I graduated in 77.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, just was an incredible journey of faith. By the time I met my wife, I married a little Cuban girl.
Mm-hmm.
She had just graduated from high school in West Palm. She was 18, smack out of high school. I was already in my senior year at college in West Palm. I was working in a multiracial, multicultural coffee house type ministry in Delray Beach.
Right.
It was blacks, Puerto Ricans, Hispanic. It was kind of multi-racial group. And we had I had a free karate club where I'd use it as a ministry. I call it for Karate for Christ.
Right.
And then I had a coffee house ministry.
You do the same thing that Bruce did?
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Right. Not threatening. No threats.
Times have changed.
And, you know, but it was we were dealing with all the different races and cultures. And we'd have this thing where we would feed them. We had music, guys from the college, Christian college, come to sing, and I'd preach, and both in the karate club and the coffee house. And I would often say to myself, man, look at all these racial groups right here, ethnic groups.
Right. All getting together.
Yeah, but the churches were segregated.
Mm.
You know, SBC churches, all these different groups. Because I visited around. I went to the African American churches just to visit, to get a feel what was going on. And it burdened me big time. That, man, if we're all family, we've been born again, why are we all separated here?
You think, right?
And now that was a burden then that I carried. Well, I met Marilyn.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I thought she was Italian.
Okay.
The last name was Carvalho, but in Spanish it's pronounced differently.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I met her, and I proposed to her months after we got married, just a few months. And married
after
her.
You proposed after you got married?
No, no. I met her after a few months.
Okay, met her.
After a few months, I think 3 or 4 months, I proposed to her and married just a short time after that.
Wow, you took her on a Volkswagen ride?
Yeah, she would. She in fact, my car died.
Oh, no.
It died, and my father-in-law helped co-sign for a manual-operated Toyota with no AC, but it was brand new. That would have been in 1977.
Wow, so y'all got married in 77. So we're going to talk, if you don't now, but we'll be talking about what was happening in 77 in Pensacola. Yeah. Escambia High School around that time.
Right.
But so y'all were getting married by the
time.
Yeah,
we were married at a bilingual wedding.
Okay.
I committed to things to the sea. I don't know what I said yesterday. Marilyn has reminded me. Oh, no, you committed. Yeah.
That's something else I think about that. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.